welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Take Two with Doreen and Pete on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia, a greater media radio station. And I'm here with a beautiful and lovely Doreen Taylor. I know you guys are all getting jealous out there. I got this big singer-songwriter, you know, in the studios with me, but I'm not by myself.
You always say I'm big. Well, I'm starting to get a complex. I mean, no. I'm down 30, man. I'm looking good.
No, you eat salads. I've watched you.
I eat nothing anymore, I think.
When I meant big, I meant you're not
larger
humongous,
than life.
Not
larger
humongous, that life. You're a star. You're a star. You're
call NASA. You found a star.
There you go. We're going to put you on the next mission to the moon. Okay?
Yes, I think.
To the moon, Alice.
There may be a GoFundMe campaign to get me out of this planet. I'm just saying.
I tell you.
I think there are a lot of people that would donate to get me out of here.
The transportation course would be pretty low. I'm just kidding.
I think you're my biggest fan.
I am. And I've known you for 12 years.
I think you're my only fan.
And you know, no, I'm not. Hey, listen. When I go on Facebook and I put something down, I get maybe 20, 30 likes. That's pretty cool. You could say you were in the bathroom.
I do. I tried it one time years ago.
And you could get hundreds of likes for that.
I did a social experiment where I tried that. And I just think, I think I wrote the word poop on my Facebook. And I swear to God, it got like all these like likes and shares. It's true.
That gives you an idea of who's on Facebook these days.
Well, I show a picture with a teeny little bit of cleavage and all of a sudden, you know, 50 billion likes. And then I could say I cured cancer. And I get two.
That's right.
What is that? I mean, that's a totally different story for a different day. But I mean, seriously, I don't understand that. Like, boobies get like a zillion likes.
Yeah.
And something totally deep and profound and so amazing.
Well, who wants to be deep and profound? I mean, seriously.
Maybe deep and profound about boobies.
Yeah, there you go. I'm telling you, man. I mean, you know, you got to stick to the basics here.
I said, I know, and I fought always posting those pictures. I have one that I've just sat on for a really long time. I said, maybe I'll post it. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, all I know is, I always
wear
a shirt.
I'll get banned, though.
I don't want my man boobs to show, so there's no way that's going to happen. That's why I wear clothes that, the real high
turtleneck.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, but definitely a turtleneck guy. But, our guest comes from New York. Okay?
Yes, he drove down from New York.
I know, and I'm New York too.
Studio.
I'm from Staten Island,
and I'm New York, but the other side.
That's right. You're from Buffalo.
I'm Canadian,
and in Buffalo, go Buffalo Bills, man!
They're
I tell you, they're doing really well.
Knock on wood.
Yeah,
I want to go to the Super Bowl this year. I'm hoping I get to take a trip finally.
Yes, and knowing all the people that you know, you'll probably go for free. You'll probably
get
extra tickets.
Of course, I don't pay. Are you kidding? Of course, I already know her. You know, I've got that lined up already.
That's right. Me, I have to pay, like, for example, when the Phillies did the home games for the World Series, $1,000 just to standing room only. It's crazy stuff.
It was cheaper to go to Houston, fly there, get the ticket there than it would be to get a ticket in Philadelphia. I read a whole report about that. I was like, are you kidding me?
This is true.
Well, diehard fan. Buffalo's no different.
Well, listen, remember, I'm your best friend now, so whatever you get, you got to give me. Okay?
What, are we married? You get half of everything I have?
Well, we're a married radio couple, okay?
Oh, God, so, this is the best I could do, America.
My condolences. This is the best that you can do. Besides, my wife of 34 years might not like that. So,
you know, like I said, she may be more, excited about these things than you think.
Well, you know why? I spend less time with her. She doesn't. She can do
I was
going
to say, she should send me a thank you card.
She should. But anyway, our guest is actually from New York. And we have this debate all the time about New York drivers, okay? New Jersey drivers and, of course, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Pensy Philadelphia. Yeah.
And we're going to get TJ. TJ is our producer here. We're going to get TJ involved with this as well.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, I personally say, okay, being a New Yorker, I say that New York beats out Philly and New Jersey.
Worst drivers?
Worst drivers, without a doubt. Just try going up Manhattan. Try going up the avenues or the streets without getting beeped for whatever reason. And now you got the bikes going in the bike lane,
well,
trying to make left hand turns.
Those are bikes.
You got to watch them and the people behind you and the cabs and everything. Everybody is so horny. Okay? I mean, it's ridiculous. Every time I keep hearing that all the time.
I didn't expect that from you. Horny?
But seriously. So that's really bad. Now, I don't know. TJ, what do you think? Do you think Philly, New York, New Jersey, what?
Traffic-wise?
Yeah.
Like, worst drivers.
New York.
There you go. See, I got someone who's going to be on my side.
I disagree. There should be way more fatalities based on what you just said in those little horny moments that you just said. There should be deaths everywhere, and yet they don't. So I'm thinking they're the better drivers because they avoid all of those, you know, bikes and all those other things and cabbies and stuff. I mean, you got to be aggressive. I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm aggressive, so I appreciate a New York driver.
Yeah.
But I can't stand. I'm going to, again, Billy's going to hate me, but I don't like Pensy drivers.
Really?
I can't stand coming here to the studio. I'm a Jersey girl.
And you have a hard time getting here.
Well, if you leave like in the middle of the, you know, the morning and like dawn, it's okay. There's still too many cars. But coming back, oh my God, it took me 2 hours. 2 hours. I could have been somewhere better. And I'm driving and it was just awful. And every time I go over that bridge, all of a sudden Jersey's fine. There's no traffic. Maybe nobody lives there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's so much... Oh. I can't stand Pennsylvania drivers.
Now, in Buffalo, they're good drivers there.
Please. Okay. Well, they're good in snow.
Really?
Well, they have to be.
Okay.
You know, I mean, 10 months out of the year, it's snowing. So you got to be a good snow driver.
What about Connecticut drivers?
I think they're the worst.
Well,
I lived in Connecticut
for five years. Yeah, but the thing is, it's wide open. I mean, it's a lot wide open than New York.
I used to
Brooklyn, forget about it. Brooklyn's the worst out of all the five boroughs in New York City. I was just there, and I needed to take Valium after I was done.
See, okay. Are you aggressive, though? Are you aggressive driver?
Oh, no, I'm not.
I am. I feel really at home. I'm like, you know, I'm the one swearing and being horny.
Really?
Yes, I'm always the horny one.
For all Doreen Taylor fans out there, you heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Well, he did say I was single, so I guess it kind of goes with the territory.
I guess. I'm not even going there. TJ,
are we going to do a segment
on this? Yes, we're going to do a segment
on this. I think you're
working
into a segment to find Doreen a husband.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later.
No.
Okay,
no.
So we have a fantastic guest today. I'm just amazed. I'm actually in the same room with this individual. We have an American actor. He is perhaps known best for playing Rick Bauer in the soap opera Guiding Light, for which he was nominated for Daytime Emmy Awards. He's also in Halloween Ends, I can go on all day, and we will go on all day on how much this individual does. He's just an amazing person. Michael O'Leary is in our studios today, and Doreen, you have anything? Yeah,
there we go.
We got sound effects.
We got a sound effect. I asked, and we got it. Is that how easy it is?
I
want $1 million, TJ. $1 million.
There you go.
Am I going to get that?
No, not $1 million, but we'll give you our heartfelt thanks for that.
Oh,
but really, we have you in here. Thank you for being here today.
Yes.
You are definitely, I mean, we got a lot of people in the studio. Just can't wait to meet you, get your autograph, you know, basically just do a lot of things with you. I know I'm going to be doing that.
Do a lot of things with him.
Wow. Well,
seriously. What kind of segue is that? And you were worried about me being dirty.
Well, pictures. I'm talking about pictures, you know.
So you didn't say pictures.
So you put it on social media and say, look who I am with today. Okay.
Oh, sure.
And even though this gentleman plays a doctor who kills a lot of
people. You always play doctors.
Yes,
I do. You do. Are you a very doctor-y kind of guy? Do you play doctor a lot in your personal life?
It's doctors, priests, and Republican white racist conservatives.
Is that what you play as well?
Really?
Yeah. It's, you know, there's something, I don't know. And despicable predators. So.
Wow. Yeah. I like the doctor thing better. I think I'm going to stick with the doctor. But I heard you're like Dr. Death.
I am doctor. I killed 48 patients on Guiding Light.
Which is still,
do they ever address that?
No one ever addressed it.
Anything on a soap opera.
No.
You could be in a coma, come back. You could all of a sudden look. Well, you weren't the originator of Rick Bauer. You came in after several other people.
My understanding is that Kevin Bacon played the original.
Wow.
Freddy
I did not know
Kevin
that.
Kevin Bacon played it. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that either.
I did not know that
wow,
either.
Wow, you're teaching me. You're schooling me
so
today.
So there you go. Guiding Light started in 1935 as a religious show. Reverend Rutledge answered phone calls from parishioners. That's how it started.
Huh.
You know, that makes sense. Guiding Light.
That's
I always wondered why that was called Guiding Light.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, and I don't think you know this, Doreen, but I'm going to tell you right now. I would love to have been on a soap opera and like
you
stay
could get
on
away
that
with
thing.
Anything.
It was so cool.
Anything.
It'd be so darn cool.
I would like it.
The studio. The only thing I would really hate is that you get the scripts last minute. They changes. Everything's done. You know, you have no time to change things. Whereas when you're doing like a film, I've done a few of those. You take a few takes. You know, on theater, you're sitting there. It's the same script. It very rarely ever changes.
Ever.
In fact, it never does.
Never.
Okay? But when you're doing that show, it's like, oh, come on. You had to get stressed out for this stuff.
Well, when I started the show, I was an orderly. I was an orderly changing bedpans on a Friday.
Really?
On Monday, I was doing brain surgery. So somewhere over the weekend, I went to a medical school.
Wow, you're brilliant.
Which is why I killed 48 patients.
Wait, exactly.
Because I went to the adult school of medicine, I guess.
The adult school of medicine.
Yeah. And stayed at a Holiday Express.
That's exactly right. I took the crash course, which led me to the 48 deaths that 48 deaths. I am now very proud.
Were you ever called up on the disciplinarian board?
since Dad was chief of staff.
Oh, I see. You know, nepotism at its finest.
You know, things, I was able to get away with a few things. You know?
That is something else. Yeah. But seriously, I would say it's, you know, you can always tell it's a great soap opera. There's so many, and all these new shows, even the ones that aren't prime time, follow the format that was done by.
Well, they were the first, really.
Exactly.
You were reality television.
Yeah.
Because reality television, let's face it, I'm going to burst some bubbles out there, but it's not real. I mean, it's
all scripted.
It's all scripted. They don't know. Maybe they can do a little improv here or there, but come on. It's completely, this is what you're doing. This is what you're going to be. This is your motivation, and this is where we want you to be. So you sort of opened that door for those people.
I think what we did better than anybody else was tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we had... We were blessed with the most remarkable actors, starting with Sherita Bauer and Larry Gates and William Roderick and Jerry Vadorn and Peter Simon, and the list goes on and on. But these were all theater actors. They also had film careers. So we were tutored, mentored by the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started, I'm dating myself, but May of 1983, that was the zenith of the show. That I think we had close to 8 to 10 million viewers watching us.
Yeah.
So.
And that's daytime.
This is daytime.
That's incredible.
So there was a beautiful delineation, class delineation, between the families. But it was always a lot of conversations at the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing was good. And I think that we didn't talk down to the audience. We spoke to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what made us the number one show and the longest running show in broadcast history.
Yeah. And you were with it through when it ended, right? All the way through, what was the year, 1990?
We wrapped up in 2009.
Oh, 2000. Oh, yeah. 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, where's my mouth?
It was there for a while. And it was sad because it was an end of an era.
It is.
You know?
It is.
And then they went
it's
on.
It's an institution.
It was really an end of an era. I mean, there's still one or two on at this point, but the bottom line is it's an end of an era. Every day at a certain time, you tune into that channel,
it'd
be the same people, and you wonder what they're going to do.
It was their religion, almost, to a certain degree.
And it was steady work, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was the best thing that ever happened to me still to this day. When I think about the people I worked with, the writing, the leadership that we had, Guiding Light was, we were each other's family because, it was a... Back in the day, where it was 10 to 12 hours a day.
You grew up together.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how did it feel to come into a character? Now, some people have the character. It's brand spanking new, and they can put their own spin on it and be totally new.
Yeah.
You're coming in with a character that had already been established and had been played by several actors. How did you approach that character, and did you want to be something different or put your own spin on that character?
I'm going to share a little story about how I got cast on the show because this will kind of give you some context. My mother watched Guiding Light for a long time.
Mine too.
And I used to make fun of her while she was watching the show.
Shame.
So I was working on CBS's Price is Right. I was an usher on that show. And I found out about a Guiding Light audition. And I walked in there I crashed the audition. And Betty Ray, God rest her soul, she's one of our casting directors. She's not with us anymore. She said, there's nothing here quite right for you, but would you read with these 10 young ladies? We need a reader.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a romantic kissing scene with 10 women. They're going to pay me $400. And I thought, wow, this is...
How does this happen in L.A.?
This is great.
I would have said, scam. Yeah. Exactly. Is this reputable?
And this was for the role of Beth and Mindy, for those who watch the show, where the folks are pretty familiar with that. So I was relaxed. I had a good time. There was nothing on the line to say, hey, baby, you were the best guesser. No, you were the best. Oh, you really nailed it.
Now, you see, I think you blew your opportunity. I would have said, let's try that again. I got to make
sure.
Yeah,
I didn't quite get that.
I got to make sure.
There were second takes.
Oh, okay. The cutest ones got the second takes.
Several hours of kissing beautiful women. That was it. I went, I thought, oh, okay, that was great. I came home. I was going to school. I was going to Cal State Fullerton at the time. I came back home, and there was my mother watching the show. And the phone rang. And I hello, and it's my agent. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, he said, Michael, you're not going to believe this, but they saw your screen test. They're firing the Rick Bauer.
Oh, my goodness.
That's on there.
Wow.
And you're replacing them.
This
was on a Wednesday. They want you there on a Friday.
Wow.
So I hang up the phone. I look at my mom. I said, Mom, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to be on your show. I'm going to be playing that character. And she said, shh, Michael, please, please. Philip's got gonorrhea. I just need to see the story. Please, Michael, please. I said, Mom, you didn't hear what I heard what you said. She finally looked at me and she said, oh, my God. And she just went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Wednesday. I flew back to New York. I started on Friday. That was my first day.
Wow.
And it was a whirlwind, quite honestly. I thought I was not prepared for it because it all happened so fast.
Right. Did they embrace you? Now, you were replacing someone that was already there. I mean, how did that feel when you walked in on set?
Well, Grant Alexander, who is my best friend to this day, a lot of folks love the Rick and Philip friendship, and mm-hmm. he embraced me right away as the new character,
mm-hmm.
and we hit it off.
That's good.
This other actor was a good friend of his, actually a friend of mine too, which Aww. Made all of that sort of uncomfortable.
Sure.
But nonetheless, Grant welcomed me, and it was really, it just went really well. From really the first day.
Yes, I should say so. It went really well. Are you kidding me? So you're his life so far. He's kissing women.
I'm telling you, man, this is crazy.
He gets the Hail Mary phone call.
We're going to talk. We got to take a break, but we're going to talk more about this because you're not getting away with this,
this
kissing thing. So we'll be back right after this.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, it's important to take steps to help stop the spread. Follow 5 tips to help protect yourself and others. 1, wear a mask. 2, practice social distancing. Stay at least 6 feet apart from others. 3, wash hands with soap and water. 4, if you have symptoms, stay home. 5, get vaccinated as soon as you can. Together, we can help stop the spread.
And welcome back to Take 2 with Doreen and Pete. And, of course, we are on WWDB AM Talk Radio 860 Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group radio station. We've got a fantastic guest with us, Mr. Michael O'Leary, American actor. You might remember him from being a star on Guiding Light, the soap opera that lasted longer than any other in the history of daytime, plus also a Daytime Emmy Award winner. Michael, it's amazing. When we left off on the kissing part, you know, and I just, I'm,
he's
you know.
So, he's focused on the kissing part.
Well, yeah.
Live vicariously through me, and now you're going to live vicariously through Michael.
There you, both of you, it's really, you know, I mean, you know, well, you know, let's not get into the vibration of your phone there, basically, that went off.
Oh, are you going to bring that up?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm sorry.
I was looking at it, and all of a sudden the phone is vibrating. After you were talking about the kissing part.
You think it was the phone.
Yeah, you think it was the kissing part. I'm thinking the vibrating. I'm like, okay.
It was in my purse. I never showed you what it was. You assume it was my phone.
Oh, well, that's as far
Again,
as we're going to go there
you
with that.
You always say I'm single,
Get back to the kissing. Okay, let's get back to the kissing.
No.
All right. So you realize nowadays if you did stuff like that with COVID.
I was going to say, things are totally
different. It's so different now.
Yeah, there's things you have to sign.
Like waivers and
things that you don't have, you know what?
A communicable disease.
Exactly.
There you go. I feel what you're saying. No, yeah. I understand that. Yeah. Well, anytime. I even did on my little teeny small scale where you're
with that
person and you do like the heartbeat music video where you had to spend an evening with someone in the mountains, a stranger.
Yeah.
And you got to, you know.
Well, first of all, your videos.
That's a hot video.
Your videos are quite good. Okay.
Thank you. We love
your videos, right?
You.
I don't know if you've
shot
I'm
in
sure
LA.
You've seen them.
So they're always good when they're in LA.
In LA, they do an amazing job.
Great director.
And like I said, you're not a little itty bitty. You got a great fan base. Mm. Glad to have you on in the show, you know, doing
Thank
as a co-host here. And like I said, there's literally thousands of guys out there, basically, that like to be sitting in my chair.
You want
to
get me married
right
off, don't you?
Well, I'm old school, you know?
Yeah,
you're
an old school Italian. You want me barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen?
No, I do not want you that. No, I want you to have your...
I think that ship is sailed.
Remember, I married a doctor, okay?
That's true. You are the antithesis.
Here's my ring. I got. Yeah, I married a doctor. Yeah. I married up.
Yeah, and we have a doctor.
And we got,
Dr. Death. 46 people.
Dr. Death.
Yeah.
But you're also Dr. Doogie Howser. You were a doctor.
I was a doctor in Doogie Howser.
And you were a doctor on Halloween Ends. Oh, my gosh.
So there's another interesting slice of the doctor thing, because when actors didn't negotiate their contracts, guess who they came to?
You.
All of a sudden they came to Dr. Death. And so on Monday, all of a sudden they had a tumor on the side of the neck, the size of a grapefruit.
You had to go in.
And guess what? No. They can't. They knew that their time was not long. And honestly, I swear to you, they'd sign the contract, because if they're coming to me, it's not going to be a good ending.
That's no, it's not.
Funny.
And it reminds me of Soap Dish. You remember when what's his name lost his head, and Whoopi Goldberg's trying to say, how did I bring him back? He got decapitated. His head got decapitated. Remember that? And they brought him back. That's
well, soap
really
operas
funny.
Almost did anything. Oh, sure. They could bring back from the dead. Amnesia. How many times do people have amnesia? Have you ever heard a person in life ever have amnesia? Well, it happened every week almost on a soap.
That's true.
Yeah. You're marrying your brother. You're marrying, there's always something.
Yeah.
Pete, I got to ask you something.
Sure.
I got to ask Doreen something, too.
Okay.
I'm going to be the interviewer for a second.
Oh, Lord.
All right.
We're in trouble.
Here we go.
Uh-oh. All right. We're in trouble now.
So we were talking about kissing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So how would your wife feel if you had to kiss somebody on a soap opera? Now, that's question number one. Question number two is the love scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, I'll answer this one first.
You
want
to go first?
I'll answer this one
first.
Number one.
I can think about my
number
answer.
Number one, I do some theater. And
it's different.
The ground rules
like
that
in
I
Elf.
Have.
In Are you kissing people in Elf?
No, I'm not kissing people in Elf, no. I'm definitely not kissing Buddy the Elf. I am definitely off
that's
the off that.
That's a different kind of production.
Okay, no, but the ground rules were this. If I were to do some acting, which I do, it's only a part-time thing. I only do it for certain things. I'm not allowed to do any love scenes.
You had that worked into your thing?
I actually did a love scene for one of the shows that I did, one of the TV series on one of Netflix or whatever where I was. And we had to do this scene like 27 times, because every time we got to the lovey-dovey every time we got to the lovey-dovey part, we had issues, okay?
What kind of issues?
I was going to say, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. So the answer to your question.
Hello, check, please.
What couldn't you do?
I would either crack up laughing.
Oh, that part.
Oh, that's true. I had a photo shoot.
With
this gentleman here, and yes, you can't even go next to a woman without cracking up.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. And finally, I was like, okay, well, why don't we edit that in later? We'll do that stuff later. So, to answer your question, my wife probably she'd be okay with it, but the bottom line is, I would be embarrassed, and that's why I've avoided that. That's why I always play character actors that basically don't kiss anybody.
That's why, right? Is that your excuse, and you're gonna stick to it?
Oh, but I want to hear your answer,
Doreen.
Now.
I can't wait for your answer.
I want to hear your answer, Doreen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, to bring it up, the heartbeat video. That's
TJ,
a good example.
You're next.
Oh, TJ. Yeah. Isn't his wife in the studio
yes,
today?
Yes, his wife. Tori's in the studio.
That's really good. I think if I were dating somebody and they didn't like it, and I had it. I actually had it, and I did the heartbeat video, and that was a love scene, and that was also, he was not supposed to open mouth kiss me. There was like these rules that he was supposed to not do. Mm. What was the first thing that he did was go right in with the tongue.
Oh,
hello.
Wow.
And
hello.
It makes for great, great viewing, and it's a hot video, and I went with it, because, whatever, I'm an actress, haha.
There you go.
So, I roll with the punches.
Okay.
But if they didn't like it, I think too bad. I mean, be supportive of it. And this is my art. This is what I do. Like in that video, the song I wrote, I literally wrote Heartbeat.
Yes.
Is about a one night stand from a woman's perspective and what she would do when the roles reverse and taking somebody home and doing what she wants and then goodbye and casting him away. Huh. So how are you supposed to do a music video not with that in there?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think
so. I was integral into the plot. I picked the actor. I did go through the whole thing, and I said, look, if we're gonna do this, I need to pick him.
Okay.
And he became the zesty man for.
All right. So you
craft salad dressing.
You know all the men. I can't let that go.
Uh-huh.
The one-night stand from a woman's perspective.
Yes, yes. Oh,
can you elaborate on that?
Well, we can always play the song later.
Maybe we should get the song.
I'm turning the tables on you, Mr.
No. I'm going to stop it right here, okay?
All right.
TJ. You thought
TJ.
You, TJ's our producer.
Let's bring us back
TJ,
to the planet.
Okay, now the same two questions for you, TJ, okay?
Yeah.
And just remind yourself that
first
Torben is there.
Look at you're turning red.
I am red.
Oh, my goodness.
A little Doreen's nervous. Okay, TJ.
Yeah.
There you go, TJ. There you go. Okay.
I don't think she would like that I would kiss another girl, even if I was an actor.
Okay.
I'm looking at her.
Or
I can't
do a love scene at the same time.
Yeah.
She's shaking her head over there.
I don't think she'd be very happy.
I do have a similar story. You remember Brett, right, Pete?
Yes.
He's an actor as well, background actor. He told me he had to do a scene, and his girlfriend was widely against it. He was like, well, it's a scene with another guy. She was like, oh, yeah, you can do that. So,
oh, wow.
Double
she's okay
standard.
For that.
Wow. So I think Tori would be fine with that, to be honest. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Are you okay with the guy thing? Wow.
Well,
I saw a thumbs up there.
With that.
See, me, I would be weirded out more about that than a woman.
Yeah.
If it were my partner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just no.
Interesting.
But I mean, you know what? Again, though, if you're with them and that's what they do and that's their career, you're supportive. Otherwise, why are you in that relationship in the first place?
And that actually, Michael, that actually got you your acting gig.
It did.
Got you started.
I did something right.
Exactly.
Got you on Guiding Light for many years.
He's doing a dance over here. He knows he did it right.
I mean, seriously, 83 to 86, 87 to 91, 95, 2009. It's incredible. I mean, they just love you so much, they keep bringing you back. Even though you kill people.
Well, he did their dirty work for him, apparently. He was like the cleaner.
And married eight times. And I'm
you were eight times married.
And my
same woman often.
Different
you
ones.
You always got eight different.
Different women.
Well, that's good.
And you know what? They all cheated on me.
So you were the
with the exception of my deaf Amish virgin wife. She didn't cheat on me.
That's the guiding light for you.
That's
the show.
Okay, guys. If you want your woman not to cheat on you, marry a deaf Amish virgin.
There
wow,
you go.
How do you get that's like the trifecta?
Well, you got to go to Lancaster.
Yeah.
Lancaster.
But still,
you know?
To get the others,
yeah,
the
right?
other two things, yeah. I mean.
I'm sorry, we're off track.
I was going to say, were we ever
we're
on
definitely
track?
On, no, we're definitely on track. But seriously, it must have been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You got the call.
What a lifetime
from just
experience.
Doing an audition.
Yeah.
On top of that, you're set for how many years
right.
Doing this from the times that I just mentioned. Working with great actors and actresses. That must have been such a gas to do.
It was a whirlwind to be. I'm from Minneapolis, St. Paul originally, so
we'll
I've never
talk
been
about that
east of the Mississippi River ever.
Mm-hmm.
So to go to New York City and to go to JFK and get that energy that is mm-hmm. unlike anywhere
it's
else,
infectious. Yeah,
it was a little overwhelming.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'll tell you something, and we're going to talk about Minnesota and my connection, St. Paul, Minnesota, with you. You know, right after this, we're going to be playing a commercial, but we will be back with, of course, our fantastic guest right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Anita Chandra with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. To keep your family healthy and safe, it's important to be ready if disasters happen. Develop a family communication plan. Make sure your family, including your children, know how to reach each other. Make a kit with first aid supplies, medicine, medical records, and comforting things for your child. Finally, talk about what to do when emergencies happen, like streets flooding, a power outage, or a fire. For more, visit healthychildren.org.
We're back, and we are back. Take two with Doreen and Pete, WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio Philadelphia, a great media radio station. And we've got an incredible actor here today, Michael O'Leary. You might know him. I know my family does, and I do, from The Guiding Light. Also a nominee for the Daytime Emmy Awards, in this case, the Daytime Emmy Awards. Did you win that, by the way? Or
I lost.
Oh,
you
man.
You killed too many people.
No, you said I won a couple times. I was going to interrupt you.
I know.
No,
people have done that with me, too,
I
and I'm like, sure I did. You said it. Now I can use that as a soundbite.
You could have said that you did that, but seriously. The Guiding
You're
Light,
our winner. You won in
yes,
our
thank
eyes.
Thank you, Doreen.
The Guiding Light is one of the longest-running soap operas around. Great people, great actors. But you also did, and we'll talk about that in a second, you also did the new movie with Jamie Lee Curtis and Hollywood Ends. So we'll
I
talk
want to ask, so before we segue into his other amazing things.
I want to go into Minnesota.
Well, no, we'll get there later.
Okay, go ahead.
I said bucking.
You did say bucking.
Bucking.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, do I need to leave the room? Hello. I'm in the room. Hello. Gosh, I think I'm losing my mojo with Doreen already.
Anywho. I want to know, though, when you do something like a role like that for so many years, how does it feel when they put that bow on and they say, this is it. This is the end. I mean, you knew that the end was coming. You knew it was going to be the final. So when you film those final scenes and you know that you've done this for so long, what does that feel like for an actor?
Do you know, I may have been in some sort of denial because I just literally when I did my last scene, they said, okay, that's a wrap. And then everybody's clapping for me. And I go, is that it? Is it over?
Mm-hmm.
They said, yes, Michael, it's over. So it's, you know, when you're with somebody with an amazing group of people, as I was for so long, it's hard.
Yeah. 510 episodes. 510.
Yeah. And they become family. I mean, you have your ups and your downs. I'm sure you had fights and you had your dramas and things like that. But still, that's what a family is.
Yeah.
And to say that tomorrow I'm not going to see you like I do every single day. Because it's not even like when you do a movie, you do an intensive amount of time, but then you do go your own separate ways. This was every day, and it was a daily. You were there every day.
Yeah, but one of the things that's kind of remarkable is that we've all stayed in touch.
That's great.
In a very sort of like the intentional way. Like the guys, we get together in New York City about 4 times a year for dinner so we can all see each other.
Great.
So... and we're involved in different projects with each other, and those relationships are still intact. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is good that you can remain throughout those. But, yeah.
Do you ever think there's going to be another resurgence of daytime television?
I think soaps. I think there's been some regret by the networks by taking them off. I think P&G just did not want to be in the soap business anymore.
Yeah, they were your biggest, weren't they? The biggest sponsor.
We had Another World, As It Returns, Guiding Light, and
General Hospital, of course.
Yeah, there's General Hospital. But P&G just wanted to get out of it.
Okay.
And we still had good ratings when we went off. In fact, we had higher ratings than Mad Men, which was the number one show on cable. So we had 3 million people watching us. But they simply wanted to get out of the business.
Well, also, things have changed. Societal things have changed.
Oh, sure.
That we don't have the housewife, per se, thing that we used to have maybe 20, 30 years ago, where someone stayed home, took care of the children. Now people are working, two-income families or single-income families going out, trying to take care of their children. So the whole demographic, everything has changed. The landscape.
Everything changed.
Yeah.
I think this one of the biggest moments, the change that we didn't know, is when the O.J. trial happened, that whole thing. And then this thing called Court TV popped up. And so the networks didn't have any competition with cable. There was no such thing as cable. And then all of a sudden, this Court TV thing showed up. And all of a sudden, we're being interrupted by this trial and all the stuff that happened around it. And that was the slide. That's when we had this dedicated audience, and then it became very segmented.
And they tried to do it on cable. They tried to do it, and it just didn't fly.
No.
Yeah.
It gets back to what Doreen said. I think that a lot of our female audience are out there in the professional world. I mean, that was our audience, and so things changed. Yeah, we lost our audience.
Now, I want to go through this because I'm pretty darn impressed here. Okay, 1980, you did Chips. Greatest American Hero, 1981. Man, I used to love that show.
Yeah.
They changed his name after Reagan got shot, just so you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was Hinckley, and they had to change it.
Right.
Because after he got shot, they had to change his name. You did Give Me a Break. T.J. Hooker. Hey, T.J., they did your show, T.J., okay. Also, Doogie Howser. We're talking about that. Law and Order, The Bay, New Amsterdam, Venice, the series in 2019. FBI, you showed up there, and 2 episodes on one of my favorite shows, Law and Order.
Well, you're a recurring character now.
I'm a recurring character.
Father Hogan.
Father Brendan Hogan.
Brendan Hogan.
That is great. I mean, that's amazing that you could do all that stuff. I'm not even going over to movies, and we got to talk about Halloween Ends. But I'm amazed at all the stuff that you did. And how did that happen? Like, they know you're doing soap operas. You didn't get typecast. Or so you kind of did?
I think there...
You're a lot of doctors in there.
Yeah, I think there was a predisposition toward daytime actors. And I think that still exists, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it took a while to sort of break through that, which is, I think, ridiculous because we have to memorize a soap opera script is 85 pages.
Wow.
We do 85 pages a day where a nighttime show
it's unbelievable.
Takes 7 or 8 pages, yeah. 7 or 8 days rather, to do the same
right.
amount of material. So you have to be on your game
mm-hmm.
to, and you don't have to memorize a lot of dialogue. And the word on the street was that Dick Wolf loved hiring daytime actors because they showed up on time, they're responsible, mm-hmm. and they did their job well.
Yeah. And they knew the script because they had to memorize quickly.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
And were good on their feet. If something goes wrong and it's live, I mean, some of these soap operas were taped live, weren't they?
Sure.
I mean,
well, they were back in the
beginning.
Back in the day.
Yeah,
so,
the
I mean,
day.
There is yeah. a craft to being able to be quick. You know, you got to
yes.
turn around something quick, so you can't be sitting there taking 20 takes
no,
on something.
You can't do that.
Right.
No.
That, it's amazing that you can do all that stuff. And like I said, I would have a heart attack, literally a coronary, if you change the script on me for any reason. I mean, 10 minutes they go, what am I doing? And on top of that, you got other people that are relying on you to do it correctly.
Right.
Okay. And then you got the other people, the people that are just, you know, day players and extras who are actors and they're very good. And you mess up in front of them and you're like, well, I could have done a better job than that. Mm. And it makes you feel weird because it's like, I got to do this right because I'm the professional. I'm the guy, okay?
Yes.
And that's added pressure on top of that. So, but no, your resume is amazing. Now, St. Paul, Minnesota. I got to go there. Sorry,
oh,
Doreen.
Oh, my God.
Okay, when I was 7 years old, I was on a Pop Warner team on Staten Island, New York.
You love
okay?
your Staten Island.
That's
you get it
right.
in every episode. Staten Island.
So, anyway, I'm playing football. I'm on a little Pop Warner team. They give me my uniform. It's so cool. So I get my pants, and they're gold. I get my shirt, and it's purple. Mm-hmm. Then I get my helmet, and my helmet's got little horns on the side.
There you go.
Staten Island Hardware Vikings.
Right. Aww.
I became a Viking fan at that moment because I realized one day I was watching TV, and my dad fixes televisions. We were watching television. He worked for Westinghouse and did a whole bunch of stuff. And all of a sudden, this game came on, Green Bay Packers against the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the uniform. Dad, look, they got horns. That's my team. So since 1968,
wow.
I'm going back. Joe Cap.
Yes.
You know,
right.
You know, we're going back before even
yeah.
Fran Tarkenton.
Right.
I became a Viking fan. And like the Buffalo Bills, I've had to suffer four.
Not in
Super
a row.
Bowl. I
not
know.
Not in a
I
row.
Know.
No, you did not. No, no.
Four Super Bowl defeats.
Don't
okay.
ever try to compare your pain to my pain. I'm from Buffalo.
This is true.
Oh,
we get
that's
the
right.
snow on top.
That's
you have
right.
four in a row and the snow.
This is true.
The Vikes lost
and
four.
I've been,
but you lost four in a row.
Yeah,
that's
no, no.
Really
we lost
stings.
We lost to the Oakland Raiders when they were a wild card. And they ended up beating us, you know?
So much pain.
But so anyway, I go to Minnesota. I do a lot of radio and television. I'm at the Fox station there or whatever station it was. I think it was Fox 9 or whatever. And I'm sitting there, and they gave me tickets to go to the game. At the time, the what do you call it, the stadium fell. Remember the snowstorm
mm-hmm.
and everything?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We ended up going to TCF Stadium playing in the college stadium. So, you know, it's a smaller stadium, but it's a college station, a stadium. Now, they hadn't played outside in the cold for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there. It's a Monday night football game. They're playing the Chicago Bears, right? So I'm in there, and I'm sitting next to people, and I'm having a great time. I'm sitting there. I got my Vikings stuff on. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm having a great time, right? And I'm sitting there, and everyone hears me talk, and I have a New York accent.
Right.
And they're like, what are you doing here? You're not a Chicago fan. No, I'm a Viking fan. They looked at me like, you're a Viking fan? Why are you a Minnesota Viking fan? You know, why are you here? And they're so nice in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, we were actually in the middle. If you recall the game, that was the day that our quarterback got hurt.
Holy crap, this is a long story.
It is a long story. The Chicago Bears.
I'm falling asleep over here, Pete. Come on, let's bring
Bears,
this in.
I'm going to turn it in. The Chicago Bears won the game, and I was stuck in a blizzard. And guess what?
Mm.
I couldn't get back to my hotel that night. And the people I was hanging out with, I stayed with them that night.
That's awesome.
That's how cool the people are in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Anything with snow. I think
yeah.
Buffalo's the same way. They'll take you in. I remember my parents were stranded. I was young, and they got some big blizzard they had there. And I remember celebrating my birthday. Well, I don't remember. But I remember they were getting a birthday cake or something for me. And my first birthday, I think, was spent at some stranger's house.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't make it home, so they had to stay
at
someone's
house. It's just so nice. They were just so darn nice. Now, when did you leave St. Paul to go?
We left Minnesota
when I was like 4 or 5, and so my father got a job out in California. And
You went nice. You went to California.
I went to California. I can tell you unequivocally, I looked at the pictures of me in Minnesota. There, I said Minnesota. there were no smiling pictures in the winter. I could tell I was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved out to California, but I still, my DNA is with Minnesota teams, with the Twins and the Vikings, and, you know, so there you have it. I'm a bit of a masochist.
Mary Tyler Moore. I actually went to the statue that they have in St. Paul.
That's right.
You know, she's throwing her hat up in the air.
Yeah.
So I was really diehard when it comes to this stuff.
You are.
I went to Hell's Kitchen. There's a Hell's Kitchen on Main Street there.
We have a Hell's Kitchen where I live, too. It's called My Kitchen.
Is it?
Because I don't know how to cook too well.
My Kitchen.
I kill as many people as Rick Bauer kills in My Kitchen.
I have been to your kitchen. And
I didn't cook for you, though.
No, you did not cook for me.
So you're alive, see? You're proving my point. No, but, you know, just to digress back, you are also a playwright.
That's right.
You are, and your first play won Best Play at the Manhattan Repertory One Act Festival, and Breathing Under Dirt. I want to figure out how you progressed from doing all of this, and now you're on the other side being
a
playwright, and now you're doing something in Georgia coming up soon.
That's right. We're going to be in Macon, Georgia during Black History Month at the Douglas Theater, which is one of the oldest black-founded theaters in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The Otis Redding Foundation has been supporting me, and the play, it takes place in 1954 in Macon, Georgia. But what inspired it was I have just celebrated my 10th year of recovery back in June.
Congratulations.
From alcoholism.
That's wonderful.
So sober for 10 years, I always say by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very grateful for that. And so what inspired that play was this immense desire to be forgiven by my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably my third or fourth year of recovery. So I started literally writing this play at a coffee shop in the morning. I didn't know which direction it was going to go. I entered in a one-act festival in the Manhattan Repertory, won first place. And then it has evolved to where it is now, where I have this world-class director, Larry Moss, that's supporting it, an amazing cast.
Yeah.
And so I felt compelled to bring it to Macon, Georgia, which is still one of the most segregated cities in the country. And they're being very brave as to bringing this subject matter to Macon, because the other part of this is there's a racial aspect of it. And my hope is that the play will bring through to an audience some racial conciliation, it's a forgiveness, and after the end of the stage reading, there's going to be discussion afterwards about the topic. So,
very nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, it's going to come to Philadelphia and to New York City, right? Eventually?
I really, you know, my ultimate, you know, dream is that there will be a full production and we can bring it to Philly and bring it to the cities and do a tour. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah. Now, you do very well, from what I hear, for writing for women, from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, this play is...
That's because of all the kissing.
something was transferred through all that saliva, apparently.
Osmosis.
Wow, we started this whole thing talking about horniness.
By the way.
That was a great segue about drivers and then people being horny. I loved
that. See, and you blame me for being the dirty one, and it's you, Pete.
Yeah.
It's you.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Sorry. You know, but I'm serious. New York drivers, they use their horn a lot. They are horny, I'm telling you.
Okay, that's how we got there.
There you
okay.
go.
All
now
right.
we're back there.
Okay, okay, but definitely New York and Philly and maybe a national
a tour.
Tour
would be
no, I would, you know, part of bringing it down there is to expose it to folks that maybe, you know, can push it forward to a production. That would be, you know, the ideal thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the director, it's Larry Moss, right, that you have?
Larry Moss.
Gosh, his bio is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, everything, Leonardo DiCaprio in The Aviator. He was, what was it, Shutter Island as well?
Yes.
I mean, incredible. Now, are you friends? How did this happen?
It's great. So, I started writing this play, and I thought, you know, I need a director.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just saying, you know, I'm going to, it's a long shot. I'm going to look up his, you know, his contact information. And
I spoke to his secretary assistant, and they told me, you know, mail your script here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm never going to hear anything.
Right,
well,
right.
About 30 days later, I get a phone call. Said no ID. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, gosh, this is a creditor, you know, something like that. And it turned out to be Larry Moss.
Wow.
And so Larry says, hi, Michael, this is Larry Moss. And my just to have this person on the phone with me
right.
was just incredible. And I said, hi, Larry. And he says, I read your play. I think it's incredible. How can I help you?
Wow.
And I said, well, I would love you to direct my play. I'm doing a reading at the Cherry Lane Theater in New York.
Absolutely.
And he flew out.
Wow.
Flew to Los Angeles and
wow.
New York. And then he jumped full into it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. That's the amazing stories. It really is. It's something.
Well, it's sort of this.
Well, it's a testament to your project. I mean, the fact that you read it and he just hops on a plane to come to a reading. I mean, that's just
I
wow.
Think it's we spoke a little bit about, you know, this business that we're all in is that if you have to be, you have to persevere. You have to
we were talking about that
you
earlier.
You have to be resilient mm-hmm. to the no's.
Mm-hmm.
And just if you don't give it a try, then what's the worst thing that can happen? I'm not afraid of the no's, you know. So he said yes.
That's incredible.
Thankfully.
I admire that in you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's and just the fact that you're 10 years sober and the fact that you fought through that. I mean, there's really probably nothing you can't do now.
Well, that not to sound like Tony Robbins, but I will for a second. But if you can extricate yourself from that bondage,
mm-hmm.
and again, it's a daily reprieve. I don't, you know, there's no magic thing. This is something that you're never cured from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, you know, dedicated to the program. But if you can extricate yourself from that bondage, I really do feel that there's nothing I can't do.
Yeah.
I really feel that way.
I mean, well, that's one of the greatest addictions we can possibly ever face. And you, if you can beat that, I mean, everything's downhill, but in a good way.
Yes.
Not in the bad way.
Yeah.
And that's, again, why the show is called Take Two.
Because,
now we're talking about a new career. You're playwriting. You're doing things that are different. And you're expanding and
finding enjoyment and pleasure in new ways
to approach your audience. One question before we go to break. Now, you got a lot of fans out there. I mean,
you do.
Along the street. All of a sudden, people notice you. How do you react to that? I mean, is it good or is it like, oh God,
well,
not another one?
I'll share a quick story with you. I'm you know at a 12-step meeting and this is a very attractive woman looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that always helps too.
Always
when,
helps.
When it's
and
the good looking ones
she's
recognizing
sort
you.
Of waving at me and I'm thinking, oh, she recognizes me from Guiding Light.
You know,
mm-hmm. And she's like, can I talk to you? I mean, I could hear her saying, can I talk to you after the meeting? I said, oh, sure.
Yeah.
So we're walking out and she says she's flush. She's so embarrassed. I can see she's very excited and you know, very, very attractive. And she goes, oh my gosh, I am such a big fan. I said, well, thank you. And she goes, this is so inappropriate that I'm doing this after a meeting, but can I have your autograph? And I said,
aww.
Of course you can. So she's literally shaking. She's going to purse and she's got a pen and a piece of paper. And she goes, I've seen everything you have ever done. I said, well, I really appreciate that. And I'm writing my name on there. And I said, what's your name? She says, my name's Kathleen. I said, with a C or a K? She says, with a C. And I'm like, right, okay,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I'm writing this and I said, what have you liked? And she goes, oh, are you kidding me? I loved you in Goodfellas. And I said, Goodfellas. I said,
Ray.
I said, who do you think I am? She says, you're Ray Liotta. And I said, no.
I'm sorry.
You do look a little.
She looked a little bit. She looked at my autograph. She goes, who's Michael O'Leary?
No!
And I said, that's me. She goes, who's Michael O'Leary? I said, I'm Guiding Light. I'm stuttering because I'm so.
Yes!
She goes, What's Guiding Light? That's some sort of religious show, televangelist show on Sunday mornings.
Oh,
I said, no, it's a soap opera. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah.
Talk about bursting the balloon.
I mean, to say anything, but Ray Liotta. Thank God you're not Ray Liotta. You wouldn't be sitting here right
exactly.
now. So you know what?
So she walked away, and my autograph was sort of tossed in the front yard of this church.
Okay, but you know, let's
her
be
loss,
honest here.
Her
that's
loss.
The one time. There are many out there that probably wanted your autograph.
I just had to share that humbling story because that
happens. I know you did.
Yes,
but
it is a very good story.
There are so many others where they come and they want to see you. You know,
you are recognizable. Yeah. You do have that face, and I know that. Yeah, you know, yeah. People see you and they go, "Oh yeah, they know." Especially that generation. Yeah,
and
they
now
know.
After this interview, they're gonna want to kiss him too, as well.
Now that you've opened that Pandora's box, they're gonna all try to be like, "Can I have a casting call with you?" Yeah.
When we come back, we're gonna talk about Halloween Ends.
Yes.
So we'll be back with our fantastic guest, Michael O'Leary, right after this.
Diane from Michigan, a disabled senior citizen trying to get by. Henry from Florida, a veteran fighting to make ends meet. Elena from Arizona, a mother struggling to feed her daughter. Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year, like Diane, Henry, and Elena. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
And we are back to Take Two with Doreen and Pete here on WWDB 860, and that is Talk Radio Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group.
Are you talking today? You are so flustered by our awesome guest today.
I am so flustered by a whole bunch of things. But
yeah, we're talking about some stuff on the break.
Oh, yes, we definitely are. But I'm so glad to have this individual, Michael O'Leary, American actor, perhaps known best for, of course, Rick Bauer in the soap opera, Dr. Rick Bauer.
He won an ESPY Award.
He did, and he was also nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award. We wanted to bring up one last thing. Now, you've done so much, and we're just incredibly happy you came into the studio. But now, okay, it's, you know, Halloween Ends. That's the new one with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I saw the movie. It's
Did
great.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you the ending, but I shouldn't.
I heard it's very controversial. That's all I'll say.
Well, let's just say it's pretty cool, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all love Jamie, and we all know that, you know, every time is always an issue. So, you know, it's a great movie. But how did you land that? How did you land Hollywood?
Dr. Lee Mathis, right?
Dr. Lee Mathis. Well, when I auditioned for this, it was under the heading of Cave Dwellers. So they hid the name of the movie. So
nobody knew.
No one knew. So I just thought, okay, this is an independent movie. I was completely relaxed. I had a good time. I had a call back and read for the director, David Gordon Green. And a week later, they said, my agent says, "Hey, you got the part." And I go, "Oh, Cave Dwellers." And then I later learned very quickly that this was, you know, one of the most iconic horror franchises that are out there. And then I learned it was Halloween Ends. And I have to be honest, I never saw any of the Halloween movies.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to be perfectly honest. I never saw them. So I didn't know what an iconic, what the fervent following that this franchise.
There's a cult following.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a red carpet ceremony for the premiere in Hollywood. And so on the plane, I saw Halloween 2018, I think it is.
They had that on the plane?
It was on the plane.
Wow. They've upgraded their movie since I've been on a plane.
Yeah.
I get like the Sound of Music when I'm on the plane.
Yeah. So I got a chance to sort of catch up on what was, you know, the movie was about. So,
I think they all have the same premise. I think they don't really stray too much from the pertinent plot of the movies.
That's correct.
So when you got it, you realized what it was, okay?
Yeah.
How did you react to that? I would have been 30,000 feet in the air, you know, just sky high, really. So,
well, I was so excited to work with Jamie Lee Curtis because I was, you know, always a fan of hers, and so ironically, I worked with her the first day of the movie, and we met and we hit it off immediately, and I never saw her again. But the other aspect is interesting is that they only give you your pages, so I didn't know what the movie was about. All I knew was the scenes that I was in.
Okay.
And so everything about the movie is hush hush because, you know, you leak something about.
Does that hurt you as an actor though to not know the full
arc of it?
Yes.
In my case, in this role, no. It was pretty well established that this was a skeevy doctor that hits on young nurses at the hospital.
Typecasting.
Hello. I know. I hate it. I hate being typecast as the skeevy doctor. But what are you going to do? It's a living.
Hey, you know, you make a good living doing it. Exactly. So take it while you got it.
Exactly. You have a future with Legally Blonde. You can be the lawyer in Legally Blonde.
No, that's a lawyer. He's got to be a doctor.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But, that kissing goes a long way. It really does.
You keep going back to the kissing.
I know.
Well, you know, skeezy doctor. You know, I mean, seriously,
right.
You know.
But then you do the on the Law and Order organized crime. You are not kissing people. You shouldn't be anyway.
Well, I'm a priest.
I was going to say you really shouldn't
be kissing unless I'm a bad priest.
It wouldn't be women.
No, exactly. Well, hello, check please. Wow.
Oh my goodness, this has gone really south here.
I know.
It wasn't swearing, so you don't have to bleep me this time.
We have about 2 minutes left. Websites. Give me your website.
Where can we find you the play too? I want to know about Breathing Under Dirt.
So Breathing Under Dirt. You could find. We have a Facebook page. You can jump on there. Mm-hmm. And to learn about that. I don't have my own personal website, unfortunately.
Shame.
I know. So projects coming up, Breathing Under Dirt in February in Macon. I'm waiting for a very big motion picture that I will find out about shortly.
Awesome.
I'm waiting on pins and needles on that one. And then I got some dates coming up on Law and Order Organized Crime that'll be coming up
shortly. That's great. They film in New York, correct?
Yes, they do.
That's great.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
And if anyone ever wants to get a hold of you, they can always contact the show and we can get them your information
That's
as well.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And that's about wrapping it up. We got Michael O'Leary here. Thank you very much. And don't forget, Halloween Ends is in the theaters right now. You can check out Michael as well as the show as soon as you can. And for everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you again next week.
I think we'll be here next week, don't you?
I hope
Unless they kick us out of the building.
I don't know. That'll be number five, so I'm not sure if we can make
number
it to five.
I think five golden rings.
Five is alive.
Thank you.
See ya.